This being the Easter month, I too want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, in America, we call this day Easter, and the word Easter itself is not even found in the scriptures, but on this day, we celebrate the resurrection of our Jesus Christ, and my desire is to look into the scriptures and to look at what it means of a resurrected Jesus and what it means to me. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read from verses 12 through 19, and my main focus will be on verses 17, 18, and 19. And we'll start from verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, now how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he has raised Christ, whom he had not raised. If it is true that the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. You know, growing up in a Russian Christian community, I was very familiar to the Easter phrases. We said, Christ is risen, and I would reply, he is risen indeed. Knowing these phrases from childhood, I never really thought too deep of them or what the meaning of the resurrection of Christ really means. And this is my desire in my heart to look into these verses. I want to look into, start off with verse 17. I'll read it again. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. In the section that I just wrote, a lot of if Christ had not been raised, this would not be. Our faith would be in vain. Christianity would not stand today where it is. Jesus, if he had not been raised, he would have been just any other human, a prophet, and all the martyrs would have been pointless. But he did rise. Christ rose, and this is why Easter is the most important holiday. Without the resurrection, holidays like Christmas wouldn't mean much. But Jesus Christ rose, and that means our faith is not futile, and we have hope and freedom from our sins. His resurrection is the justification of our faith, and it justified all the works that he had done on this earth. I'm going to move on to verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Again, I think this is continuing of the thought from verse 17. If Christ had not been raised, it says, and then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The words fallen asleep in this verse, I believe, are meaning dead. If we look back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. This is after Jesus died. The rocks were split, and it says, the tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. I don't know how they were raised, but this is what the Bible says, that the saints will rise when he comes back. And this means that if Jesus Christ have not been raised, all the people that are being prosecuted today, all the Christians among us, that's it. That'd be the end of the road for them. But because he was raised, they have hope. They have hope to new heavenly bodies, a new life with Christ. And Paul talks about more of this later in chapter 15. I won't be getting into, but I want to move on to my verse. The verse 19, which will be my main focus. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Again, if Christ, again, if it's just in this life, we are most to be pitied. You know, when I first came to Christ, my life changed drastically, and it changed for the better. When my life changed, I thought that this was it. This is, my life will be great, and this is what it's all about. But when I became Christian and Jesus Christ became my Lord, I came upon this verse and I read it, and it really struck me that it's not all about this life. This verse reminds me that this life here is just temporary. I'm not a perfect Christian. I make mistakes every day, but God's grace finds me every day. And we humans often forget that life here is temporary. Life on earth is just a tiny fragment of eternity, but we tend to focus so much on this life, and it makes us miss the point. I often catch myself dwelling and focusing on the earthly life. The things of this world often hold us down and prevent us from experiencing God completely. He calls us to seek his kingdom. As Pastor Dennis mentioned, sit on things above, not on earthly things. I have another verse I want to read in Ephesians 3:20. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." God can do far more than we ask or think. We often think in just our humanly minds about things of this earth, but he can do far more. This is talking about spiritual things. His spirit lives inside us. The spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside us. And so often we underestimate that power. He just wants us to let him work in us. In my own experience, I've seen Christ as the only one who can satisfy. And this world, the things of this world, our relationships, the people closest to us will disappoint us throughout. Only God has complete fulfillment. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Often I found true fulfillment and joy in serving God and others around me in love, even though the flesh doesn't want to. The flesh always seeks its own. The flesh wants to go have fun, go enjoy my life, but fleshly things are only satisfying for a moment, and then they bring just emptiness. Spiritual life is true fulfillment. We can look at Solomon, the richest man on earth. He had everything. He said he didn't withhold anything his heart desired. And in Ecclesiastes, he wrote, "All is vanity." This is from a man that had everything he wanted. And at the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 13, he writes, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men." Of man. So Solomon, that went through everything, had everything, he said, this is the all in all, to fear God and keep his commandments. In other words, to serve God and him. Apostle Paul also says something very similar. In Philippians 3:8, he says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Apostle Paul was a very popular figure, had a great career, and he says, all that is worth nothing compared to Christ. And this verse 17, this verse that I keep talking about, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." It says in this life only. I think it talks about priorities. Where are our priorities? It says, Jesus says, where your heart is, there where your treasure will be too. God wants our heart, and he can give us greater treasure than the world can offer. Even the world says, money can't buy happiness. Only true fulfillment is in God. So if we have hope on this life only, all the people that are being persecuted in all the other countries today would just be in vain. But it's for a different hope of a new life, for new bodies. This is just temporary. And in conclusion, I want to look at the risen Christ. I want to remind us of the disciples of Jesus. They're all ordinary men. There are people like us here, doubting, unsure. They followed Jesus. Jesus asked them to follow him. They did. But when they met the resurrected Jesus, their life changed forever. They even went to death for him. And that's what God wants. He wants our heart. And have we met the resurrected Jesus and his power? The risen Christ is our hope for eternity. Blessed be Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.